They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty, 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 trying to catch me riding dirty. My music so loud,
swinging. I was just pumping this through the HOA this morning. Riding dirty.
I love that. And I played this song. We were playing 90s rap in my car as I was driving my children around. And so as my daughter rides her bike with her little friends,
yeah,
she'll sing this song as she's screaming down a hill.
Want to get you riding dirty. Your daughter is riding dirty. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast Hot Tub. It's your boy, TJ. I'm with my partner in crime, Ron. How are you doing, Ron?
What is up? I'm doing good. I'm tired. This week is dragging.
We are old men, and that's what we do. We be tired. We be riding dirty and tired.
And tired.
What does riding dirty mean?
I don't know.
I feel like riding dirty is like when, like, you have worked out all day, you haven't changed your clothes, you haven't had a shower.
Right.
You know, you might have done some yard work. Your wiping skills might have been questionable.
Got some swamp.
There's swamp some swamp. Yeah. Like you're just like, I need a shower now.
Yep.
I feel like that's what Chameleon Air is singing about or rapping about.
Probably. It's catchy, but it is, you know, it's probably not one of the most profound songs of the day.
You know, one of the best things I've gotten in this year is one of those subscription car wash places.
Yeah.
So you just pay like your $20 a month, so, and you just keep
riding dirty. Is like,
I'm not riding dirty anymore, man.
No one's riding wash me in dust on the back windshield.
And so I was also thinking maybe he just needs a car wash if he's riding dirty.
We can't, you know what? Let's get him on the podcast.
Let's go. Yeah. So like one of my favorite rappers, Chameleon Air.
Okay.
Another one, I love Logic.
Oh, yeah.
That's one that my trainer has been getting me into. He's very fast. I like it. I like the trap beats. I am embarrassed by the lyrics when I ride around with them because I'm like really into it. But then I'm like, if anyone sees me and they hear this coming out of my car,
right,
the level of judgment is going to be high. But so, I like it.
So when you're doing rap music, do you do the bleep or do you just lean into the word wherever they go?
Yeah, so like I've been debating this because I've listened to it edited and I've listened to it full like Monty.
Yes.
And it's way more fun, full swearing everything.
Right.
But the it does get old, and as a white guy, I every time they use the N-word, I'm very, very, very uncomfortable.
You bleep that one.
I wish they would just bleep it anyway. I'm just like, can we just universal bleep that?
So like, I'm kind of the same as...
But then I'm a free speech absolutist, so I'm like, why am I censoring? I don't want it. But could I have that option on my app? Like, I could choose?
Oh, no. The rapper should be able to say whatever they want.
For sure.
You cannot.
Oh, that's true.
I'm just saying, it's kind of like comedy clubs. Things are always more funny in the dark. So during the day, I think I prefer a more edited version as I'm roling down the street. But the minute the sun's down, it's going unedited. You're crazy. And it's going loud.
You're crazy. It definitely has to be loud. I can do the edited or not. I have all the Beastie Boys albums, and I have edited versions plus the normal versions. And I love the edited versions because I can play them with my kids and not worry about it.
Right.
So they're near and dear to my heart, even though I know they're kind of weird.
Right. No, and that's fair.
Yeah.
The saddest day was when I realized my son was like starting to pick up things from shows we probably shouldn't be watching together, like Family Guy
and sure.
things like that. I mean, we never, if my wife's listening to the podcast, we never watch Family Guy together, and I don't.
Oh my gosh.
Just hypothetically.
Yeah. That hypothetically, sort of I've never watched the full, like all the Sopranos and most of Game of Thrones with one of my daughters, hypothetically.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Listen. So, hey, I got a quick update for you, man.
Yes.
The family got a new dog.
Good for you. That's a new family member. We didn't even have a dog shower for you.
We didn't have a dog
shower. Is there a gender reveal? Can you tell us about this doggy?
We should have done a gender reveal. His name is Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sheepadoodle.
The beautiful thing about a guide dog is that they are constantly doing a gender reveal. Sometimes I'm like, could you just put it away? And then I realize it's a dog.
Coming out of the container.
Stop
now, it. That hasn't been too big of an issue. I'll tell you what has been an issue, and it kind of fits with the motif of most people in my family. The dog came broken. So I'm going to be completely...
Wait, hold on. Your family is not broken.
I'm a little broken.
Okay.
And I mean like physically. Like we're just all a little bit broken.
So sometimes. The dog came broken. Like you got it. You opened the box. It came from Amazon. You shook it. What's broken?
Yes. Like,
come on.
No, yes. Pretty much, yes.
Can we back up? Where did you get this dog?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. And I hope you don't shame me because now I feel like you have to say you rescued a dog.
You always rescue one, even if you get it from a breeder.
I got it from a breeder.
You do an adoption for love.
The breeder was in Provo, Texas? Provo, Utah.
Oh, Provo, Utah.
Yeah. And so we got this dog, and it ended up being like a small little miracle because our other dog died maybe 3 months ago, and we had two dogs at the time. We took the dog in to get it checked, and basically we had to put it down like 5 days later. For lots of reasons, it was a humane thing to do, but it really depressed my wife.
Sure.
And it depressed our other dog. And so I said, I know you're not ready, but you need to like get another dog so this guy can cheer up, so you can cheer up. You both need this. And we have some allergy issues at our house, so we needed a dog that doesn't shed.
Have you stopped giving your dog Xanax?
I'm just kidding.
You don't give your dog Xanax.
Oh, we did.
You did?
So one of our dogs used to be deathly afraid of traveling, and we would have to give it a Xanax as we went on long road trips.
Are you
serious?
So
you were making a joke, but yeah, we've done that before.
Oh my gosh.
So we found this dog. Sheepadoodles don't shed.
Yeah.
And we had the adoption fee. We paid money for it to be flown down to where we live in Southern California.
A sheepadoodle?
Yeah.
So that's a sheepdog?
Yep, and a poodle.
And a poodle.
And it looks like just a giant throw rug.
Yeah, no, it's just like the other dogs you have, right? Or the earlier.
And I can show you pictures. It's a little bit different. Literally looks like a big furry rug. It's really funny. And so we got the dog on my wife's birthday, and check this out. It arrives, and it comes to our house peeing blood.
Okay. So, dude, that's one way to ruin a birthday party is just kind of pee some blood.
Oh, yeah. My
last birthday party I was at where I peed blood was in 1976.
No, it sounds like that would be an amazing party. What are you doing? Did you get in a fight?
Yeah.
Are you in Vegas?
Right.
Peeing blood would be... No. But like, so she has to take him to the vet. We're treating a severe UTI right off the bat. Oh, that
poor dog.
It got like another virus within a week that you get when you... Dogs eat their own excrement. Didn't happen at our house because it wasn't long enough for it to happen. And the other thing...
So this dog is dumb enough to eat its own crap?
Well,
all dogs do
that. The dog had six brothers and sisters, and there was two other dogs at the house. I'm sure their backyard was just covered with crap everywhere.
It wouldn't be the first person from Provo, Utah to eat their own crap.
I'm not even going to... No. And if you live there, apologies.
It's my hometown.
You're allowed to say that.
Just kidding.
So like right as we got it though, and my wife's super observant, she notices that it's kind of using the back leg as a peg leg.
Wow.
And so do you know what that means?
It's a pirate.
No, well, that'd be great. But it also means that the dog and my wife unfortunately pointed it out to the doctor before we could get pet insurance in place.
Pre-existing condition.
So now it's a pre-existing condition.
Oh man, that's bad luck.
And when we did the puppy checkup a week later, the doctor said, this is likely hip dysplasia. So would you like to take a guess as to how much corrective surgery is for hip dysplasia for a dog?
I'm going to go like $4,000.
Yeah, $4,000 to $5,000.
Oh my.
And if we don't do it before the first year and wait till like after he's a year old, 2 years old, then it becomes a full hip replacement, which is 8 to 10.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So this all boils down to a question of
love this dog.
Am I the a-hole? And to be very clear, it is the nicest dog that I've ever owned. And just like every morning will run up and like lick your face and then jump in your arms and just wants to be pet for a few minutes and just wants to cuddle with you. He's lazy. This is the perfect dog.
Amazing.
But he's going to cost a crap ton of money.
You know what?
And so
sometimes the ones we love cost us the most money.
Amen to that, man. Whew. So we...
And sometimes the ones we don't love cost us a lot of money,
even more
too.
Money.
Like my ex
Hashtag ex-wife. So these things all existed.
Yes.
You know, we noticed the leg thing. We noticed the UTI thing. We noticed everything.
And you still love this dog.
And we still love this dog and we'll do it. But sure. We reached out to the breeder because even the vet said to us, You
mean the adoption agency? No,
yeah, oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. The adoption agency.
Thank you.
Because even the vet said to us, if you're not too attached to this dog, you should probably return it. And we're like, no, we don't just give away our family members if they're having some issues. And,
right.
And we'll deal with it. We reached out to the breeder, and my wife wrote a very long text that just outlined everything that was going on and just said, you know, these are the numbers that they're throwing around. And in light of everything, like, we're going to pay for this, and it's going to be several times more than what we paid to adopt the dog.
Yeah.
And we would like our adoption fee returned. Like, this isn't what we bargained for. We bargained for a healthy, well dog.
So we have a lot of listeners in Provo, Utah.
Oh, dear.
They may know who this sheepadoodle breeder is.
Do we need to, like...
Can you guys get Ron a refund guys?
It's all fine. And we're not trying to pull a fast one over, but the exchange between the breeder and my wife was, like, a little terse.
Uh-oh.
And the person was feeling defensive. And I understand why, because, like... That's a good chunk of money that's probably already spent.
But you got to stand by your product.
Yeah.
And be proud of your product and go, oh, hey, if something's wrong, I'll take care of it.
I mean, if we returned it, I mean, we're not even asking the breeder to cover the surgery, which is well in excess of what the adoption fee is and
sure,
everything like that. And so it was like, can you do the right thing? Can you refund this thing so we can get our dog treated? That's sure. All we're trying to do.
It's the right thing. I hope they do it.
And I hope so, too. And it got a little tense for a while.
So did you get your money or what? What's
well,
going on?
So where it landed was, and I thought her request after the exchange was very reasonable.
Yeah.
And the breeder said,
yeah.
Can you get a second opinion? And I said, you know what? That's absolutely
good idea.
Fair.
Yeah.
And so we've taken the dog to get a second opinion. The vet, the second vet we went to said, there's something going on, but your dog's only a few months old, and to do invasive x-rays that they would need to do to confirm it, they have to put the dog under anesthesia.
Oh.
And so they can't do that for another month. But I'm really glad we reached out to the breeder now, or sorry, the adoption place now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like we're trying to pull a fast one in a month and
totally.
Say, here's what's going on. But TBD as to whether we get a refund or...
Well. Or, this is a great cliffhanger for a podcast,
right?
Listeners.
But am I the jerk for asking? Like, I'm going to
a
spend
refund?
Thousands of dollars on a surgery.
You're not a jerk.
Okay.
In fact, the fact that you didn't like send the dog back and say, you know, give me my money, that's what a jerk would do.
Yeah.
So hats off to you. I mean, you lost some points because you quote unquote adopted the dog
instead of rescued.
But it was a dog of, you know, with special needs.
Yeah. And oh, you, I adopted you, a.
See, so that actually
I adopted a special needs.
That
dog.
Balances.
That's even
it out.
Better than rescuing.
So your karma
a dog.
Is absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you, in the oppression Olympics, you win. Oh, you're like man. You're adopted number one.
I really
you're
hope
you're disabled number two.
Yeah.
Maybe. You came from a culture that's not Caucasian, so you can get some of that.
Oh,
I don't
know. No. Too far. Too far.
Dogs don't have race.
No.
That's just stupid.
No, and the dog's cool. It's all going to be fine. It was just one of those, like, we were battling in our heads, like, was it a jerk request to ask that? And the fact that you say no makes me feel better. So I appreciate
it. Yeah,
that.
Dude. I'm 100% supportive of you and your family's dog situation, and yeah. I think it's commendable that you're gonna pony up the money.
Yeah,
I would probably have a pillow. Shh. No, I'm just kidding. That is, I'm editing that out.
No, you're not.
Oh gosh.
But it's kind of a tale of the two cities because you know me, and I tend to sometimes let it fly. I'm not as polished as I pretend to be. Sometimes I might drop a bomb. Four-letter bomb here or there.
A swear
here or there. Not on this podcast,
you know.
But
we are very clean on this podcast. Although I do warn any of our listeners that this is not for children.
Yeah,
we are not role models.
Yeah, But I have to say, and this is kind
but
of
we appreciate everyone that
this is my next update for you and my favorite thing in the world, because if anyone in my family, if their mouth was going to get our family in trouble, people would have bet heavy money that it was going to be me.
I would bet it, and or your mom
or my mother.
Yeah.
But the story I'm about to tell you wasn't me. This is about my dear wife, who in the entire time, like, we've been married 15 years next month.
Yeah.
Has hardly ever said anything, one of those words or anything like that. And
wow.
And so I think you're really going to enjoy this. The other week, and something about our family, my daughter's 9. And we don't do sleepovers unless it's with cousins, but sure, we've done things like layovers.
Sure. Where
friends stay till 10 or 11.
Yeah, we call it late night.
Yeah.
We do the same thing. I don't love sleepovers. I feel like when I was the age of sleepover time, that's sure, when everything that I did bad happened.
Right.
Right? Because you just stayed up late. You ended up going to a friend's house who had their dad might have had some alcohol or maybe a magazine under a bed. Like all of those, like, yeah, pubescent, prepubescent, terrible moments, right?
And you know what's funny? Like, choices. None of those things ever happened to me. I just remember being more excited about the idea of a sleepover, and then it hits midnight, and I'm thinking, I'd rather just be in my own bed right now and not in a thin sleeping bag on the floor.
Tell me about it. The sleep is so terrible.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, whole day you have a hangover.
Yeah, and you wake up, and you're just like looking at the clock, and it's kind of like a date. Well, when's it okay to say, all right, can I go home now?
Yeah, I want to just go to my own house.
I want to be alone. This has been too much time.
I feel like I get that way with hotel rooms after about like 2 nights. I'm like, okay, I need to go home. I need my own bed now. This is enough.
Totally fair. So here's what happened. We had just gotten this new dog, and my daughter was, and you know, with new puppies, you're dealing with accidents and waking up multiple times in the night to let it out and things like that.
Yeah.
So we're tired. And it had been a particularly long week, and it was a Friday. My daughter had been asking, like, every 45 minutes, can I have a laid over? Can I have a laid over? Can I have a laid over? And my daughter and my son had become friends with this other two people, this other family, where they have a daughter and a son roughly the same age.
Great.
And they were over playing at our house, and my daughter had come in again to the kitchen to ask, can I have a laid over? And my wife was tired and exhausted, and she looked at her weakness. She said, you know what, I'm really, really tired, and truth be told, your friend is awesome, and if we had a laid over, I wouldn't worry about it, but if you had a laid over, your brother would want a laid over, and your friend's brother, you know, my son's friend, he's hasn't been nice to your brother lately. And he's 2 years older. He's been a little bit mean and a little bit manipulative. And we just need to give those guys some space. And that's what she should have said. But in a moment of weakness, and from a woman who never says anything really, really bad, she looked at my daughter and said, and if you want to lay it over, then your brother will want to lay it over. And his friend has just been a real butthole lately.
Oh.
And she didn't say a-hole. To be very clear, she didn't say a-hole. It was a strict butthole.
Butthole is so, like, fourth grade.
It is.
It's a silly word.
It's a hilarious word.
It's really silly. It's hilarious in other languages, too. Like, I say it in Korean all the
what
time.
What is it?
Dongkumong.
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 Dong is poo, and kumong is like cave. It's your poo cave. It's your butthole.
That's fair. That's a great word. Shout out to the Koreans for right? that word.
They have a way more descriptive word.
Yeah, so then my wife looks at my daughter and says, I'm telling you because I trust you and I want you to know what's going on, and mostly because she'll stop asking, but you can't say anything. So what does my daughter do? She walks outside and goes up to her friend and says, we can't have a laid over because your brother's been a real butthole lately. And my wife overhears.
You can never tell your kids anything ever again.
No, you can't.
Oh.
You can't. And I'm driving home as I'm hearing this story from my wife, and I am just yelling, not at my wife, just out loud, because I'm just so horrified.
Oh my gosh, that's the best.
And I got home, and they were all sitting at the table, and I looked at looked at my daughter, and I said, "You might have ruined your brother's friendship, your mom's friendship, and your own friendship because you can't keep your mouth shut. Because do you think your friend's mom's going to want them over if she thinks, you know, your mom's calling her kids a bunch of buttholes?"
Wow, I didn't even go there in my head. That's where
I was horrified.
Because, I don't think they took it that seriously.
Well, and so we were just
send them this podcast. Well, it was innocent.
It was, and the boy, to be very clear, he's a sweet boy. It's just he's 2 years older than my son.
Sure.
And so he knows what he wants, and my son, because he's an older boy, worships him and will go along and is easily manipulated. And so we had to make a strategic decision. Do you address the elephant, like the girl went home and told her mom everything, or do you just kind of hope that nothing happened or that she would reach out to you? And like a butthole itself, we just sat on it. And we didn't hear anything back. So to the best of our knowledge, the conversation wasn't repeated. And probably because the little girl knows that her brother is an actual butthole.
I don't think they took it that seriously.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think.
Do you think she went home and told her mom, though?
Potentially.
I think it's potential,
I mean, I think I would have if I said, "Hey, I just found out, you know, whatever your brother's name is a total butthole." Like, I think I would probably tell.
Yeah, but
because it's hilarious.
I think I think the mom would have brought it up.
Probably.
So fingers crossed that it didn't happen. And even if it did, everything still seems to be fine. And we're okay now. But lesson learned, we cannot trust our kids with anything.
No kidding. No kidding. So I have been on a diet and a health kick lately.
I know. You're looking trim.
I'm down about 20, 25, maybe not 25 pounds, like 22, 23 pounds at this point.
Nice.
Since we talked about that. And obviously, it's all about like eating less, right? So I'm like trying to find all these healthy things to eat that have enough protein, but then I'm not, you know, I'm trying to keep my calories and intake low and working out like crazy. And so I've been reading up on all this stuff. I tried a lot of vegan products, a lot of like protein bars.
Okay.
99% of these products are disgusting.
So what do? Do you sample one and try to buy an individual bar, or do you buy the box and then just chuck it?
I've made the Costco mistake on a couple items. Ooh. So you're like, what are we going to do with these? We have teenagers in our house, and they generally just devour everything. We just throw stuff at them, and they eat it.
We have a disposal pit in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, things don't really go to waste in our home.
Fair enough.
But I am disappointed with a lot of the products. I tried a vegan cream cheese the other day.
Okay.
What I did with it is I added the cream cheese to a ton of powdered sugar and made cream cheese frosting. I took something that was supposed to be like somewhat healthier than the original and made it just as bad with sugar.
That's like adding sugar to sugar-free Jell-O and saying,
"Dude, I made a pizza in our backyard in the oven." And we got this awesome pizza oven from one of our sponsors.
Nice,
shout out to my dad. And I cooked it with vegan cream cheese frosting, like some raspberries, and then I think that was it. And maybe some sprinkled sugar on top and some lemon.
Nice.
And cooked that like a pizza, like a dessert pizza. It was so good. It
kind of seems like a strudel at that point.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. We made pizza. We had pizza night with all the family. We made like 30 pizzas in a night. And then at the end, I started making dessert pizzas. Okay, I lied. It was 18 pizzas, not 30, but it felt like 30.
That's okay.
All right. So anyway, I'm trying all these fake foods. They're all terrible except for the vegan cream cheese so far. But our Lord and Savior Bill Gates.
Oh God!
No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that. The apple of every conspiracy theorist's eye, Bill Gates,
the controller who will activate the vaccination chips.
Yes.
Once we've all been vaccinated.
I've been vaccinated. He can activate. I'm ready to be activated, Mr. Bill. So anyway, he was doing an interview and he said all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. So he's talking about how, you know, obviously beef, cows have too much methane.
Right.
Right. So, and that's what creates a lot of the greenhouse gases. And just like the way the amount of water and energy it takes to actually grow beef, right, is not really scalable when the rest of the world, as the world rises in classes out of poverty,
sure,
the consumption of beef is going to be out of control,
right?
Which is fine. Everyone can have some beef, right? But he's saying all the rich countries, we need to switch to synthetic beef because. We've got to let the other poor countries who aren't going to be able to afford synthetic beef actually. So he says, Mr. Gates said poor countries like in Africa won't be able to completely transition to synthetic beef, and they will have to use animal genetics to dramatically raise the amount of beef per emission for them. So he says, I don't think the poorest 80 countries will be eating synthetic meat. I do think all rich countries should move to a 100% synthetic beef. So basically what Bill is telling me is that I'm going to be living in Zimbabwe like in 50 years.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm moving to the poor countries where there's real beef.
Yeah. Have you tried the synthetic stuff like the Impossible Burger?
Yeah. So I have had the Impossible Burger. It's okay.
It doesn't scratch the itch.
No, it doesn't taste like beef. It has sort of the burger. I mean, I guess it has some of the flavor. It doesn't have the fat that you would want from. Yeah. And so that's what it's really lacking. It also, I feel like the texture is not the same. It's a little drier to me, but it's okay. Actually, I enjoyed it. I've had it at a couple restaurants and I didn't mind it. But to your point, it's not really the same. And I just think the idea of the fact that, like, now because our country is wealthy, we have to eat the gross stuff. I'm not signing up for that.
Well, right. Can't we grow the synthetic beef and send it somewhere else?
I feel like that's what we should. No, that is so bad, dude. That we're like, oh, rest of the world, sorry, you can't have beef. You have to have our synthetic beef because of global warming. But here's my T-bone. We can't do that either. Okay, I feel fine. Like everyone's just going to do it if they want to, and we can't mandate it. You can't force people to eat whatever. But what this tells me is we got to invest in beef stock because, like, in synthetic, we got to go both ways. We got to invest in the synthetic meats, and we got to invest in the real meats because both of them are going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And one, there's going to be some, you know, if really we start shifting in a real way to synthetic.
Right.
All the rich people are going to be getting the best meat and saying they're eating synthetic.
It's like, just going to be the new, did you rescue a dog?
Yes.
Oh, is yes. that a real steak?
Yeah.
Is that a
exactly. synthetic steak? They're going to be, exactly.
And they won't call it synthetic. They'll call it, is that a designer steak? Or is that a real steak?
Yeah, steak by Gucci.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the steak by Gucci is really going to actually be like, you know, like filet mignon from Costco.
I wonder if they're going to like mess with it too in terms of texture and stuff like it's probably going to go that way, right?
There may be a generation here, one or two ahead of us here, like our kids, our grandkids.
Yeah.
May not eat real meat potentially.
I don't know if I want to live in that America.
Right. When we won't be, we're going to be in like Uganda or and we're going to Africa. They said we have to move to Africa in this article.
I missed
there's the like answer. 80 poorest countries we have to go to. So there's gonna be some in Africa, there's probably gonna be some in Southeast Asia somewhere, like, you know, somewhere near Indonesia or like Papua New Guinea. We could move there. They'd have real beef.
There you go.
Papua New Guinea has had cannibalism in recent past, like in the like past 5 years, maybe 10 years.
I think we just need to like buy an island and do the compound thing and just, you know,
grow our own beef.
Have a herd. Have a guy who's a butcher.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
So the question I have for you, obviously we've got to pick out and buy some real estate in some third world countries.
Sure.
Right? Are we allowed to developing countries? Less
oh my gosh.
Less economically more economically challenged.
Economically impaired.
in the economically impaired country. So we're gonna buy some real estate there so that we can have our own steak in the future. But what foods could you handle that would be synthetic? What do you think could be synthetic?
I think with some of the stuff And it's funny you ask this question.
I eat Spam, so I feel like that's already synthetic meat.
Probably is synthetic. Right?
I love it.
It's funny you asked this. There was an article recently about that I read coming out of The Guardian, which is a UK newspaper. There's a thing called a VAT tax.
Yeah, yeah.
And
value added tax. It's just basically sales tax that's on every item you buy.
And they don't do that for things that are essential. So mm-hmm. if it's like bread, meat, dairy, things like that, that you have to live on, they won't tax you.
Like the state of California, we don't pay state sales tax on groceries.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. they charge you on soda. But like if you buy,
maybe that's why.
So like all of our Diet Cokes, they're jacking us hard on those. There's
never a time that I haven't gone to the grocery store and haven't bought soda.
The worst on the soda thing is the deposit on the can.
Yeah.
Because like every 12 pack is what, like 5 cents times 12, 60 cents that you're paying extra? Or is it more? Is it maybe 10 cents?
I think it's five.
5 cents. Okay. So that's 60 cents. The state, they publish every year, they publish how much money they get in through that program.
Right.
And how much money they pay out.
Right.
And magically, every year, California basically pays out the entire amount of money they collect from these cans that they charge, 5 cents a can on.
How?
Right?
Because I'm going to tell you a
secret. There's no way.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
Yeah.
But don't tell anyone else.
Okay. Shh.
Sometimes I don't recycle my cans.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's at least $10 a year that it's not coming back from
at
me.
At least, if not more.
Alone.
Well, think about like all the cans you buy in the gas station or wherever, and then you're like the bottles that you're paying that, and then you're just like, oh, Chuck, and you're like, there's no recycling can around here. I'm just going to throw it in this garbage can.
Right.
At least half of them. So like, I
would
say
that there's all gets 30
or 40% doesn't actually get returned.
And so how is it all getting paid out?
Probably to the mafia.
Okay. We're okay. So circling back to the UK, so there was an Ireland court that recently ruled, so if you bought bread, there was no tax on it. Subway got taken to court because, and the whole argument in court was their sandwiches and the bread that it's on should not be considered bread. And they brought in what definitions of bread is, and it has, it's bread's only supposed to have 2%, I think, sugar versus flour, or some sort of ratio.
Sure. There's probably some Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, there's a ratio to that.
They do that here in the U.S. with ice cream. You can't call it ice cream unless it has a certain amount of fat in it.
Exactly. Right? Basically, it has like, I believe it was five times more sugar in their bread than it should have.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So it's really more of a cake than it is bread itself. So that's like a long way of saying, I think synthetic bread, it's been processed so much now, we probably wouldn't know the difference.
Would you like Italian or wheat cake?
Exactly.
With your bologna.
That's exactly. With your synthetic bologna.
Oh, dude, bologna is another one. Have you had bologna in the last little while? Like,
I haven't had bologna since I was like eight.
I was in the grocery store the other day buying meats, as I do.
Sure.
And I was buying all the meats. I got the pepperoni, the salami. I got to the bologna, and I was like, do I dare? I've never introduced this to my children, ever. But I remember growing up having a bologna sandwich almost every day of my life.
I liked it growing
Me
up.
Me too. But like, what happened? All of a sudden, it's like not cool to buy bologna. It must be so bad for you. Oh. I don't know, but let's buy some next week and have it on the podcast.
And remember it.
Yeah. White bread, a little pickle, some mustard, and some bologna.
Wow. I never did the pickle. I would do the mayo and the mustard.
I'm anti-mayo, but
that's, do you know what I'm anti?
What?
And it's probably considered synthetic as
I'm
well.
I'm anti-Asian violence. What's up with that?
I am too. Amen, brother. But also like American cheese, like the Kraft Singles. That's disgusting. That feels synthetic.
Dude, that is pure oil, but so wonderful.
Oh.
Really? But isn't that what's on cheeseburgers?
It's on the In-N-Out one. It's tolerable on the In-N-Out
one.
Yeah,
I like
but
that.
But Kraft Singles is terrible.
I haven't had one, like, open. I remember opening up the wrapper and looking at it and going, this shouldn't break like this if it's cheese.
Yeah.
The way it just kind of cakes off, it's like, the consistency is bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they ruled that Subway bread is cake.
Or they didn't call it cake, essentially, but it has way too much sugar.
What you're saying is the synthetic food that you can handle.
I think it's going to be bread. I think that's going to be really easy to replicate and do.
I agree. I think that one they could... So, yeah, definitely. Because you think about all these weird snacks that you eat. Half the things that come in, like Doritos bags now, I feel are definitely... alien technology.
Absolutely.
Right? Like those Flaming Hot Cheetos?
Yeah, those things, have you ever thrown one of those in the fire?
No.
They actually like light on fire and go. There's like no way that's natural.
Do they make different colors?
That would be great. Wouldn't that be a great way to sell it? And depending on what type of Dorito you buy, like if you buy Cool Ranch, there's kind of a blue tinting.
Yeah.
Flaming Hot Cheetos are like just a good orange-red burning sort of thing.
Maybe they do. Maybe we just discovered something.
I don't know. Or maybe we just gave them a really good idea.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Doritos.
Hashtag fire Doritos.
Feel free to sponsor us. Send us some.
Yeah. That's the dumbest idea ever. So
bread, cake. What's a synthetic food that you think would be?
Nothing. I'm all out on all of it except for I love Spam and that's my synthetic food.
Bologna. Where do you stand on tofu?
I love tofu. Growing up in Asia, I ate tofu quite a bit, and basically every hamburger I had was tofu at that point. Like, the meat was so full of tofu, it was more gray than it was, like, brown, you know?
Yikes.
But I love it. I can eat it on everything. I know it's really bad for you, and it's given me some of these memories. Okay, I've got to get off this synthetic food topic, but I have to say before we go.
Okay.
The smell of Subway bread is what ruins Subway for me. When you walk into that store, all you do is smell that weird, like, yeasty, like, oven blast of, I don't know what that chemical is that's in the bread.
I'm okay
with that. It's gnarly.
I'm not okay with, like, the roasted, and I wish you could see my air quotes, roasted chicken that just looks, I don't even know how to describe it.
Oh!
Like a white turd.
Yes! It's the chicken breast. Where it's like
fake grill marks
are on it. Like there's an intern in the back with a little black marker that's just going boop, boop, boop on some exactly. of that, like on some old like chicken nuggets. Oh, nasty. Okay. You know what? So it's so funny because like these different places, right? Like Subway or Pizza Hut or like McDonald's, they all have very distinct smells. Like when you walk in the door, like you know, like where you are. I think we could actually walk in blindfolded to different fast food restaurants.
That would be really
funny. And know where we are.
That'd be really funny if we should do that on a Saturday.
Yes. We're going to do that. And we'll tape it. Like, dude, that would be so fun. We'll just drive around. Someone has to have a blindfold on.
Yeah.
And you walk them into different restaurants and you have to guess where you're at. Yeah. That is awesome.
Take off the blindfold. TJ, this is a buffet at Cheetah's.
Dog.
This isn't what we were talking about. We need to leave. No, I'm just joking.
No. Who ordered the fur burger with a side of fries?
You could be a DJ there. That's your fallback.
Oh, gosh. Kill me now. Okay, so yes, we've now found out what we're doing on Saturday night.
There you go.
Excellent. All right. So I think it's time. Do you know what time it is?
What time is it,
buddy? It's time for Am I a Jerk? Am I a Jerk? Am I a Jerk?
Okay, I got two for you today, and one's a little bit lighter. I think there's a clear answer, and the other one's a little bit darker. But I'll start with the light one first. You ready?
Sounds great.
Okay, this comes from a 32-year-old mother who took to the Am I a Jerk subreddit to ask about a situation. She explains that she gave birth in October, and since then, she's had an extremely difficult time losing the baby weight.
That's hard.
That is hard. She says, last week I broke down to her significant other about not being able to lose the weight, and he said he would push me to do so because he loves me. The original poster continued.
Let's pause there for a second. Push her to lose the weight? How about support her to lose the weight?
Yeah, well, and I think I'm going to keep reading.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's more of a push.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
It's okay. Since then, he's taken the Biggest Loser approach and started calling me Miss Piggy.
Do they do that on Biggest Loser?
I don't know.
They fat shame you on that show?
I don't think so, and has instructed all of my friends and family, even my kids, to do so. I hate this nickname, but he says it's supposed to motivate me to lose the weight.
Oh my gosh.
I think he really believes it's going to help. but I feel undermined while parenting because of this nickname.
Gather around, folks. Thank you for coming to my house for dinner tonight. I want to introduce you to my family. Here's my wonderful wife, Miss Piggy. So, please refer to her as that.
She's trying
to lose some pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Holy cow.
The other night, my family was eating and my children started oinking at me. And out of frustration, I started yelling at my husband. We have a rule not to yell in front of the kids, but we're almost always in front of the kids during quarantine. And I feel so dismissed. The kids started crying and Dave says, I'm to blame. And she asks the question, is she the jerk?
Heck no.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, she needs to turn it around and say, if I'm Miss Piggy, you're Kermit. And guess what Kermit doesn't have?
A set of balls. I just don't see a scenario in which that is ever okay.
So wrong.
And I really wanted to take a stand of, well, you know, try to play devil's advocate. I can't even find a way to do it. I can't even joke about it.
Like, honestly, it's so bad. Yeah, I mean, like, would this guy go to like a Tony Robbins session and learn the exact opposite of what you should do for motivation? I mean, give me a break. I feel bad listening to this a little bit though, because honestly, my two daughters, the first one, I her name was Chub One. And when I had a second one, I called her Chub Two. So I had Chub One and Chub Two. So maybe I was doing that to them as they were little babies. But no, they were cute little nicknames. But like,
yeah, but you wouldn't continue that when they become like.
No, I stopped. My wife actually made me stop calling my my younger daughter. I call her Chubbit. Yeah. Which is a chubby hobbit. So she's my little chubbit. And I'm not allowed to call her that anymore. So,
you know, that's fair. So they don't get body issues like this mother's going to have.
Yeah, that's not cool. Not cool.
Okay. We are aligned on this. This one is.
Hey, I dare you to go home tonight and call Mrs. Ron Miss Piggy.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I want like you can get a black eye. She's gonna beat the crap out of you.
Joke about that, dude. If you did that, if I did that, if anyone did that, dude, they would get a black eye.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, how is it that she hasn't punched this guy in the face?
She should,
right? It's ridiculous.
If you did that to your wife, she should punch you in the face.
She calls me Mr. Piggy.
Does she? No, she doesn't.
Only when I ask her to.
No.
Dude.
Hey, we got to keep this PG, bro.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, there you go.
That's not even like you're weird, man. All right, what's this next one? This isn't the dark one. That was a pretty dark story, honestly.
Okay, so here you go.
This is brutal.
This comes from a man on edit. When my son was 10, I caught my wife cheating and got a divorce. The dad explained that adding that he had all four of their children tested for paternity after discovering his wife's infidelity. Three were mine, but my oldest 10-year-old son was not. I was mad, but eventually got over it and did not want to treat him separately than his siblings. Things changed when his oldest turned 18 years old. Unfortunately, his mom told him about his bio dad against our agreement, and at 18, he started regularly calling him and speaking with him. Now, 2 years later, his son and his girlfriend are expecting a baby and they needed some help. Since they had nowhere to stay, the dad decided to let his son move in so they could continue going to college while raising their kid.
Very kind.
His son, he goes on to say, well, my son's relationship with his bio dad really took off, I guess. The emotions and everything all came to a head recently at the child's baby shower. The dad explained at the baby shower, his son gave his bio dad a shirt that says grandpa on it.
So he was invited. That's kind.
So he's invited. Yeah. And then he says, moreover, he started occasionally calling me by my first name, even in front of our other kids. And he has sort of made it clear to me that biology is more important than the man who raised him.
Jeez.
This really upset the dude. So instead of giving them a gift at the baby shower, he says, I quickly drew up a 30-day eviction notice after a quick call with my attorney and replaced my present with that. I'm just tired of the disrespect, and apparently he did not see this coming because he was completely blindsided. The dad tried to also justify his decision. He also writes, I should also add that I overheard him saying other things like, my real dad was a Marine, and stuff like that when when he thinks I'm not home.
Oh my gosh.
This guy admits to telling his son that he could go live at his real dad's house if he wanted, adding that he only believed the only reason he hasn't was because his bio dad's home isn't big enough. He also includes, I'm going to stop paying his tuition next semester and just kind of cut him off completely.
Oh, geez.
So
this is hilarious.
The question is...
The last one was way darker, although this one's a lot more emotional, that's for sure.
You know what? The last one, you're right. This one's way, way more emotional. Mm-hmm.
This is more real. This is something that probably really happened. I don't believe the Miss Piggy story.
Oh, my gosh. So
I smell something and it's not Subway bread.
Who's the jerk?
Wow. You know, definitely, you know, the jerk is not the dad, the one who raised the kid.
Right. Well,
the one who raised the kid.
Continue.
Yeah.
Continue.
So in my mind, so he's definitely hurt, yes. Right? He definitely feels used.
Yes.
He has every right to say, hey, you need to move out of the house and go stand on your own 2 feet since you've decided that I am not, you know, that I'm less than,
yes.
Right? Less than a man who donated your DNA but didn't stick around long enough for you to grow up, has been gone, has not been... So I need some backstory. Like, has that guy paid child support?
No, because the dad didn't know. The mom was obviously, had multiple lovers when they were dating and or early in their marriage.
Sure.
Because he's the oldest kid, and he didn't find out till... The kid was 10 years old, which leads one to believe that while they were dating...
So the bio dad, did the bio dad know?
That was his kid?
Yeah.
No.
So then he's not a jerk. So I was judging him pretty harshly because I find guys who stay in the background and don't do anything during the hard part of raising the children,
right.
And then swoop in when they're 18 and go, hey, buddy, let's be friends.
I'm not excusing bio dad, though.
Dude, yeah, he doesn't seem that interesting to me.
Even if he didn't know, he should be mature enough to read the room and say, you know, this guy raised you for 18 years, right? And then like halfway through found out you weren't his actual DNA.
Right.
And continued to raise and treat you like his own flesh and blood.
Yeah. This one's a hard one because I don't think I have enough context.
Right. And I think like this is one of those, and what's funny about that Reddit forum is I find that sometimes when you read it, it's a bunch of people who are a little bit dark and looking for affirmation that they're not a jerk. So you find a lot of people who tend to lean being a jerk, telling each other they're not jerks.
You're good. You killed somebody. How old were they? Oh, they were 75. They had lived their life.
What did they say to you? Yeah.
Oh, they said you had a bad hair day. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Of course.
Well, no, stop. Absolutely. But like, this is one of those fair situations where I think everyone sucks. So let's be.
I agree. It's very juvenile. Clear, like, you invite someone in your house and then you're like, hey, you don't like me as much as the other guy. You're out.
Get out.
That's super juvenile.
There should have been a conversation before the papers where the non-bio dad, the actual dad, the father, he was a freaking father.
Yes.
We'll call him father. We'll say bio dad and father just so that we have
to. Let's keep it straight.
Yeah. So father says to him, I'm hearing these things. I raised you for 10 years. I found out you weren't my flesh and blood, and I continue to raise you like my flesh and blood, and you're treating this person as if they're just as important to you as I am, as if they're your actual father, and I have an issue with you.
Yeah, can you understand how that would be hurtful?
I'm
happy for you. That's the right thing to do. That's the approach that you would take.
He should have had a conversation that way, and he should have brought up the examples. Can you understand how it's hurtful when you think I'm not home and I hear you say, my real dad was a Marine?
Yeah, that's brutal.
So if I'm not, and even say, if you don't consider me your real dad, that's okay. Go live with your real dad and let him take care of you and let him assume those responsibilities, and that's okay.
Yeah. That's what he should have
said. He should have done. His son is a total jerk because
he's immature. He's only 20. Plus he's an idiot. 20 years old having a kid. Like, yeah, and you're in college, but and still, like you're
20 years old. You don't think you have the emotional maturity to realize like who's your actual father?
You do, but this guy doesn't sound, some people would, but a lot of people just don't get their brain set until they're about 25.
Yeah, I guess there needed to be a conversation. And then I also think Biodad's a little bit of a jerk for not saying like, you're doing all this, but you got to bear in mind that dude just raised you and you're living at his house and you're not paying rent. And maybe you need to be showing him a little bit more.
This whole story is cringy. It's so,
isn't it though?
Yeah. You found the cringiest story possible.
You're welcome, buddy.
Oh, I feel so uplifted now.
So basically everybody sucks.
Yeah.
Oh,
everybody.
Well, I'm glad we can go out on a high note, man.
Right? Hey, I've got a television recommendation for you.
Fire away.
I've been watching the show with my daughter. We love it. It's super cheesy corporate Fox game show.
Okay.
Name That Tune. They rebrought it back. They brought it back with Jane Krakowski.
Okay.
But she's terrible, super annoying. But the show is really fun. The game show is really fun. But the best part about it is Randy Jackson. Mr. Yo Dog.
Yo Dog. Does American he still drop Idol. A dog?
He still does. You're my dog. But the best part of the show is he's like the sidekick.
Yeah.
So he's the band leader. And they have this band that plays the songs and then like, people have to guess.
In Leno, it was like
Jim McMahon or
Kevin O'Neill was the band leader for The Tonight Show for Leno. Or
yes.
Max Weinberg for Conan.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yes. Or Paul Schaefer for David Letterman. He's more of a Paul Schaefer because he chimes in all the time.
Gotcha.
Versus the other guys don't seem to chime in as much. Paul seemed to always chime in on Letterman, right? Yeah. So he's the Paul Schaefer and he says the most ridiculous things. And it's like, he says it with a straight face. It's so great. Go check it out.
Okay.
And just listen for Randy Jackson saying the most annoying things. There's about 10 episodes that they released through COVID. And the weirdest thing on it is at the end of the show, it says this show was filmed safely in Australia.
Really?
So I guess they're like flying to Australia.
Where they don't have COVID.
Where they don't have COVID. Bringing their COVID with them. I don't know like what they're doing, but they're going there, quarantining, then showing, and then filming these TV shows. And these contestants are from the U.S. or they're Australians with the most amazing American accents.
Nice.
Which is possible since we've seen like every cool actor in Hollywood seems to be Australian.
And Australia is it's a good accent. It's not so thick like some of these British accents where you're like, what did you just say?
Yeah. Well, you know what my favorite accent is.
Which one?
South African.
I agree.
Charlie's. Yeah. Just kidding. Man,
no. next week, though, be sure to follow up with me on a couple of things. I get my second vaccine next week, which is happy news.
So we have to find out.
I just want to end up on some happy news.
Yes. And
I'm going to be older next week, Doc.
It's your birthday? Oh, yeah. I'm gonna
be an old freaking man.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, we'll have to celebrate. It's good to see you, Ron.
Good to see you.
Happy birthday.
They see me rolling. They hating. Patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty. 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 My music's so loud. I'm